warm welcome. It's a wee bit warmer in here this morning than it was last week, despite what's going on outside. It's lovely to see you. I suppose I should say a very warm welcome to you if you're regulars and visitors alike. I've probably put myself down as a visitor, but hopefully not. You're going to get to know me a wee bit better as time goes by. Dave's got an intimation to
congregation may be slightly upset to hear that Sylvia Thompson from Station Road died. Her funeral is on Wednesday morning at 10:45 at Blair's Service Rooms and then about 11:20 at Hawk Hill Cemetery. If anyone has anything they would like to tell me about Sylvia, I would be very happy to hear it after the service. So that's Sylvia Thompson. She stayed down in Station Road there, and for your information. Thank you.
And the other intimations should be on the overhead this morning, if we can bring them up. Yes, there's tea and coffee. I actually saw some scones in that going through, so if you're lucky you might get a scone this morning. What's the next one? Right, the annual guild tribute to Robert Burns. That's the 23rd of January. I take it you all know who to get in contact to get tickets and stuff for that. And if you've not paid your money, hurry up. The Church Magazine, they give you a date there of Sunday the 4th of February. Try and make that. Every time I see you got a Church Magazine, nobody seems to get it in on time, and they all come with the wee bits of paper later on. So by the 4th of February. And there's the prayer for Christian unity. It's today up at St John's, and I think they start a prayer week as well up there, so look out for that if you're going up the road today. Is that everything that we have this morning? Well, that's fine. Good. Well, our introit this morning is from CH4, and it's Jesus' name above all names. Let's stand and sing Jesus' name above all names. John 8 and verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. We're going to sing again from CH4 111. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Thank you.
Let's join our hearts and mind in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty and most gracious God, we acknowledge your sovereignty over all things. We join in our worship of you this morning, along with all your heavenly host. We also know you as a good God, a God of grace and mercy. For you have made yourself known to us in Jesus Christ, your Son, and have proclaimed pardon to every repenting sinner through faith and sacrifice that Christ has offered on the cross for us. So we ask you, Lord God, to accept for the sake of Jesus our imperfect worship that we offer up to you, now and through this coming week, our praise, our prayers and study. Having been taught your will through your word, may we be diligent to live up to it. Grant us faith that loves, that obeys and works. Allow us a spirit of humility wherever we are, in our homes, at work, or elsewhere in this world. We thank you for all the many blessings and comforts you have given us over the years. Help us to follow that generosity in giving to others in a like manner with a heart ready to forgive. Strengthen us, Father God, in our times of trials and our temptations, and guide us through the difficulties that may befall us. For when the shadows of evening shall come upon us and human help fails, O Lord, be the strength of our hearts and our portions on that day and forever. And now, Lord God, hear our prayer taught by your Son, Jesus, when we say, Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Our reading this morning comes from Exodus 14, and I think Sandy is going to read that for us this morning.
Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and camp near Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to camp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think, the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Israelites did this. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Amen.
Thank you, Sandy. Well, this morning we're going to be delving a little bit into Exodus. And by way of a sort of pre-sermon reflection this morning, I was thinking about our journey and our focus for that journey. And I thought I would tell you a little story that kind of helps to illustrate that focus for you this morning. And it's something like this. If you remember, in the better weather, sometimes we have a gala day. Although I have to say the gala days that I've been at in the last year haven't been much better than we see today. But it's a gala day, and the children are lining up to take part in a little game. And it's a 5 meter long plank, and it's only 9 inches wide, and it's on bricks at either end. Now the kids are all lining up to get onto this plank. The idea is that they will get on the plank and they will ride the plank to the other end and they'll receive a prize. Now it's not as easy as you think to go 5 meters on 9 inches on a bike. So the first little boy gets onto the plank, and he gets onto the plank and he's pedaling away and he's looking down at his pedals, he's looking at the plank, he's looking at his wheels, he's keeping himself nice and straight, and he's pedaling away, but something happens about two-thirds of the way along. He wobbles a bit and he comes off the plank. Oh, but he did not too bad. And it's the same story for half a dozen other kids who get on their bike and they go along the plank and they wobble and they come off. And then a little girl comes along at the end with her pink bike, and she puts her wheels on the plank. And she gets on and she pedals and she keeps pedaling and she goes right to the very end, comes off the end of the plank to rapturous applause and a lot of cheers. And of course the reporter for the wee paper standing about and he thinks, well, I've got a space to fill this week and I can't just repeat the gardening page again like I did last week. So he goes along and he says, well, to the wee boy, what was your plan of action? What was your strategy when you got onto the plank? The wee boy says, well, I got on and I just wanted to do my best, and I made sure that my wheels were straight, and I was watching my feet going, and I was pedaling for all I was worth, but oh, so far along it, I just fell off. He said, oh, but you did very well. Well done. And then the others were saying the same thing, but then he come to the wee girl and said, well done, you won the prize. What was your plan of action? What was your strategy when you got on? And she said, well, I got on this plank, and I just pedaled and I kept my eyes right on the end of the plank because that's where I wanted to get to. And I just kept pedaling and I got to the end and I got off the end and I've won the prize. And that for me is about focus this morning. It's about sometimes as a church, sometimes as a in personal ways, we look down at the process, don't we? We look at all the machinations of what needs to be done. One thing I was thinking about as I was doing it was the order of service and all the things that we need to do to worship. And then I was thinking about the wee girl, and she didn't look at the wheels or the pedals or the plank or anything. She looked at the far end. And for me, that is looking to Jesus. We don't need to look at all the machinations. Yes, they're probably necessary, but so often we make them the process, the whole aspect of our worship, instead of just focusing on Jesus. And that was the message I wanted to just give a small reflection, because we're going to look a bit more about the Israelites following God in Exodus later on. So let's just bring our hearts and minds together in a small prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we travel through this life and we're on that narrow path, we pray that all the distractions and all the things that come around us, Lord, don't take our eyes off Jesus this morning, for this week, for this year. Lord, for the rest of our life, keep us traveling along with you, Father, in that straight line, that we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Then you will protect us. You will provide for us. And all these other things we shall have as well. And Lord, while we pray this morning, we remember our young people in and around our dear Livingston and around Stevenson and Three Towns. Father, will you guide them and will you protect them at this time, especially in the schools around us here as well, that they may grow up and be an example of your love in this community. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now this morning, I wanted to try a wee experiment. I brought along my guitar, and I thought I'd maybe lead you in this next song, One More Step Along the World I Go. So we'll see how that goes. If it doesn't work, we'll go back to the organ again. Because it's an experiment, let's just remain seated with it. And if it's really good, we'll repeat it. No, we'll not repeat it. Let's see how it goes. I've chosen three of the best verses out of it, because it does go on a wee bit. You might not hear the guitar very well. I've got this old scratchy thing that I brought along from our church. So here we go. Follow me.
One more step along the world I go. One more step along the world I go. From the old things to the new, keep me traveling along with you. And it's from the old I travel to the new, keep me traveling along with you.
Good.
Round the corners of the world I go, more and more about the world I learn. All the new things that I see, you'll be looking at along with me. And it's from the old I travel to the new, keep me traveling along with you. Give me courage when the world is rough.
Keep me loving though the world is tough. Leave and sing in all I do. Keep me traveling along with you.
And it's from the old I travel to the new. Keep me traveling along with you.
Well done. Oh, I'm going to have a choir out of you yet. Yes, well, we'll just stand and sing O God of Bethel now, which I love as well. O God of Bethel, by your hand. After the church service, young Brian came up to the minister and said, "When I grow up, I'm going to give you some money." The minister said, "Oh, that's lovely. But why?" He says, "Because my dad says you're the poorest preacher we've ever had." Well, I hope I don't live up to that dubious accolade this morning. Well, this morning we're looking a little at a part of Exodus where the Israelites have left Goshen and Ramses in Egypt, and they're travelling through the mountain passes and the wilderness to reach Pi Hahiroth by God's command to Moses. And they're stuck with the Red Sea before them and the mountain range behind them and an Egyptian army coming on fast. And the context of this story is well known, and it's loved, isn't it? There's so many epics in the movies about the Red Sea crossing and the escape from Egypt and the Ten Commandments. The film industry loved it. But in a nutshell then, 433 years earlier than our Bible passage, Joseph of the Technicolor Dreamcoat saved Egypt from 7 years of famine. And he rose to be very important, almost like a prime minister in Egypt. With famine stretching over the whole of the ancient Near East, of course we read of Joseph's father, Jacob, and the other brothers coming to live with them in Egypt. But then, speed on 433 years later, and a new dynasty of kingship had taken over Egypt, and there was no memory of Joseph. All the Pharaoh could see was a people somewhat segregated from the Egyptians by their culture and their religion. Some of them were assimilated, but growing in numbers at an alarming rate. And the Bible tells us that he was afraid, if we read the chapters before, that they might join his enemies in the north if they ever decide to invade. And so he sets about trying to curb their growth, doesn't he, by some very drastic measures. And one of them, of course, is to throw the baby boy who was born into the water. And then we get the epic story again of where Moses came from. Anyway, he oppresses the Israelites to the extent that they are hard-pressed as slaves. And Moses, who was brought up at the Egyptian courts, as we read in his life story, sees an Egyptian overseer mishandling one of his Israelite brothers, and he kills him, and he runs off to the land of Midian, and he marries Zipporah. And many years later, he's sitting on the hilltop watching his flock, and he sees the burning bush, and it's there that God tells him that he wants him to go back and lead his people out of Egypt with the help of his brother Aaron, and take them from Egypt and into the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we looked at the Old Covenant in the Old Testament last week. So everybody's life then can be described as a journey. I'm on a journey, and I'm hoping you're going to accompany me that journey just a little way. Because this is the journey where I finish my assessment year, hopefully, and I'll be with you until about June. But from birth to death, as we travel the road before us, we'll meet many challenges along the way. Sometimes we seek answers from others. Sometimes we seek answers in the Bible, or sometimes we seek it through prayer. But however we make our choices in life, we'll always hope that there's something better for us, don't we? We always hope that there's something better round the corner. I've no doubt that the Israelites had great optimism that led them to journey with Moses and Aaron, because they would see that light at the end of the tunnel. In our passage we read today, we are with the Israelites on a plateau, in a desert, a land near the Red Sea, but with a mountain range behind them, basically trapped between the sea and a rock wall. Now, they took a strange, massive diversion away from the direction of the southern end of Canaan, back and down, as instructed by God through Moses. The alarming situation was seen by the people as folly, no doubt. as they cried out to the Lord in anguish at the sight of that Egyptian army with their best chariots and their soldiers careering down on them, all commanded by the Pharaoh in all his finery. Well, freeze that image just for a moment. And let's flash back some days before the darkness, when the Israelites upped their sticks and they fled Egypt. And when they went with God before them. And they were excited and they were relieved. They perhaps were anxious in a nervous way about the wilderness crossing. You see, the camel routes that go from Goshen to Canaan probably take about 2-3 weeks at the most. And so they packed what they could take as instructed. They threw their kneading bowls and the unleavened dough on their shoulders and covered in cloth, and they grabbed their children and they walked out into the night. Walked out into the promise God had made that they would be delivered from oppression and slavery. A long column of humanity moving with flocks and cattle from a deserted townscape, dark houses in the grey light. The people doubled back. They doubled back on their tracks. They're stuck between here, they're stuck between the sea and the mountains with an army about to come and kill them or capture them or drag them back to slavery again. And they cry out to Moses. They cry out because they can see no way out. Were there no graves in Egypt that you brought us into the desert to die? They bitterly complained to Moses in verse 11. But this was the Lord's plan. A plan that Pharaoh should be defeated once and for all. That Yahweh would be glorified through the salvation of his people. You see, plans that show that God's ways are not man's ways. The Israelites stepped out into a new life. No matter how daunting that seemed. But their courage left them on many occasions. And they forgot that God was with them at times. But they took the opportunity to step out nevertheless. The parallel for us today, personally or as a church family, is that with courage and optimism, we too can step out in servitude for Christ. Yes, we might rejoice seeing the Holy Spirit move among us. We might rejoice when he makes a success of a plan or a project that we have instigated to share the gospel. But as we go, our courage fails. We become disheartened when we face the opposition or the skepticism from our community and our family and our friends. And we gather together then in safety, a little reluctant the next time to step out into the new again. And the Israelites became terrified when they saw the opposition. Their faith was dented and the venture sank. But what the Israelites were slow to realize was that they had a great, powerful protector in Yahweh, in our God. Their human, rational perspective shielded the supernatural. They complained, they were fearful, focusing on what they didn't have. They didn't have a good escape route. They didn't have a plan to defeat the enemy. What they needed to focus on was that they did have at their disposal. And I think that Moses calmly suggests this. With God still present, he knew that something would happen to save them. Hence, these wonderful assurances in the words to his followers. And these are words we should heed echoed forth to us today in verse 13 and 14. Don't be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Moses had trust and faith in God to deliver. And that's my prayer for you today as a church family or as an individual sister and brothers in Christ. That you chance to step out into that calling using the gifts that God has graciously given and focusing on what we have to work with and not what we don't have. seeking to use the resources that we have to bear fruit for Jesus. But perhaps God has other greater things for you as a church. We should continue to pray and to ask, and more importantly, to listen. Perhaps you've heard or felt his calling to go, to step out a little for him. We are his eyes, his ears, his mouth, his arms, his legs. Through us, the gospel of salvation will be spread. And as we go with his powerful Spirit upon us, don't be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. We spoke of parables earlier. In the New Testament, we can see Jesus, who we might consider as a second Moses, who came from God to guide us to salvation, to deliver us out of the bondage of sin and death through the cross. And through prayer and patience, I say God can move by his Spirit here in Livingston Church, changing lives, growing churches. I love that little verse, verse 15. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." I love that. I love it. It's like he said, "Why are you calling me? I gave you the tools, now go and do the job. Move out and use the gifts and the power I have invested in you." It's like an exasperated dad speaking to his reluctant, hesitant child. See, Christians have the power. We have the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus invested within us. That's what we have. And we have that to guide us, to strengthen our faith, to teach us God's ways, to help us to love those around us, to protect them, and to provide for them in worldly ways, and more importantly, to provide for them in spiritual ways, the ways of Jesus Christ, becoming disciples, making disciples. See, the main message of this book of Exodus is about God's love and salvation for his people, God's deliverance of his chosen people from slavery and their restoration into the promised land. And through that lens, we can reflect onto the New Testament, the same story for us through Jesus. A wonderful freedom in Christ. Sure, the Israelites travelled long past through many challenges, sadnesses and joy. But overall, God's love was revealed throughout the story of Exodus, perhaps more so than any other book in the Old Testament. When we read of God's providence, his provision, his patience, his spiritual guidance, his wisdom in the law, his desire to live among his people, his desire to tabernacle with them, to be with them. And we also read of his justice, his holiness, his righteousness. A Father God who loves abundantly and yet disciplines where his children stray. See, the story of Exodus reveals to us something of the Father's heart. And we learn that our help comes from God. God loves us. His children, he loves beyond all our understanding. He seeks to have us return to him in a close bond through his Son Jesus, the new covenant founded in faith. That's his main aim. Restoration of that closeness with us, restoration of his creation. Well, as you know, this is my final placement with you, and eventually I'll undergo the final assessment towards readership in the Church of Scotland. My hope is that in stepping out in faith, I have something to offer to you and your minister in my stay. And yes, I'm here to learn, I'm here to develop, I'm here to find my feet, my confidence for speaking out for God, and hopefully in an encouraging, edifying, motivational way. But I do hope to be a blessing to you as well. And from what I've felt over the last week or so being here, I know that you're a blessing to me. You see, in order to get anywhere, you have to set out. You have to trust in God and His promises and set out. That's a big shake-up to the norm sometimes. It certainly was a big shake-up for me. I'll tell you more about my testimony some other time when we have time. So you see, I might ask some great favours over you, of you over the next few months. I might try to instigate certain things yet to be revealed. Mainly I would say I would look at possibly leading and developing prayer. That's something that's close to my heart. Or maybe worship or something. Things like that. We're on a life's mission. Jesus asked that of us. We, as a Christian family, have been given the tools and the gifts and perhaps the vision, and we are called to go in love. Simple as that for me. We are called to reflect the love of Christ in everything we say and we do, and to spread the gospel of the good news. The good news of Jesus' saving grace. In spreading the good news of the gospel, it's like these promises and these gifts, we can pack them all up and take them with us on the road, on our path, on our journey. And I'm relieved that you're going to accompany me on that road a little while. As we keep each other company, we might share in the gracious love and kindness. Now, forgive me this morning, because I realise that I'm only a little part of the church here. You all have a journey of your own, and to travel with Dave, your minister. And you're already on it, I'm sure. No doubt you have a misty idea of the future, just as I do. But as you go, my prayer for you would be that you remain focused on Jesus and His life-giving word. That is the start of all journeys, living with His encouragement and with His hope for the future. As you, me, and Dave walk with God personally and as a church family, my prayer is that we come to know Abba Father in a deeper, more lasting way. And we grow as a church in His strength here in Livingston. Whatever we do in His godly kingdom here on earth as a church family, as a Christian, it's going to come to nothing if we try to do it in our own strength. It will come to little if we go in our own strength. Our only hope is to focus on Jesus, as I was reflecting earlier on in the bicycle story, to have faith and trust and believe that He's got good things for us who live in His ways. We can stand firm in our churches, employing the gifts that we do have, and praying for the ones that we don't have yet. We can grow. We can attract others. We can spread the love of Christ in this small corner of Ayrshire, because we are assured that Jesus is travelling with us. For He promised to be with us always until the very end of the age. Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Amen. Your offering will now be received.
Thank you.
we come to our prayers for others, and I have certain things that we should bear in mind when we're meeting to pray this week. On the Ardrossan Presbytery prayer cycle, you're going to be praying for me. In other words, you're praying for readers in the presbytery. Well, I'm not quite there yet, but you can pray for me anyway. Thank you very much. The churches we're praying for this week are Brodick, Corrie, Lochranza, Pernmill and Shiskin. In fact, Arran, the church is on Arran. In this weather, they might be feeling a wee bit cut off from the mainland. The Reverend Angus Adamson, the parish assistant, Mrs. Jean Hunter, who's also the presbytery clerk. And for Crossreach, today we're looking at the Esk Mills project. Supports adults who have a learning disability and provides accommodation for 18 service users in East Lothian and Edinburgh. I was also reading the magazine, if you've been reading the magazine, about how they're working with the youngsters, with the five-year-olds in one of the homes, bringing them in and having an hour of craft with the older people, and they are loving it. It's a wonderful ministry, and I think we can uphold that in our prayers as well. The other thing that concerns us this week and is the sad news, of course, of the fisherman that's missing up in Loch Fyne. It's not looking good, but they're still searching. Let our hearts and minds and our prayers be with the families at this sad time. So let's come to prayer. Let's bow our heads, join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let's pray. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Loving Heavenly Father, you are revealed to us in your word. We thank you for the wisdom of previous generations who laid a path of understanding for us, who still help us to find Jesus in all we read and in all we hear of your scriptures. Lord Jesus, you told us that the poor would always be with us, and poverty in worldly goods and in spirit oppress a great many here in Ayrshire and across our world. We pray that those in need will find provision of food and clean water and a warm shelter that they can call a loving home, filled with the warmth of security and peace. Help us to be the bearer of that aid in worldly terms, and sharing the saving grace of our Lord Jesus by example. We pray for those lacking in strength of spirit and at their wits' end for all sorts of reasons. We ask, Father, that you sustain them, bringing peace of mind and contentment. We continue to pray for those areas of your creation where evil stalks and wars abound. In particular areas in the Middle East, we think of Syria and Yemen and Iraq and those disputed borders and all these ethnic struggles. Father, in your mercy, restore your peaceful order to them. And we pray that in through your Holy Spirit, you convict those states on all sides of the conflict that flout all moral standing and humanity by seeking to kill for territory or ideological reasons. Stay the hand of evil, Lord, for Satan knows no bounds. The children that you love so dearly, Jesus, cry out for an earthly father, a mother of their family. O Lord of mercy, hear their call and save them. Save them that they may yet know the goodness in men's hearts, the nearness of your love, and a future where they can flourish once again in all the gifts you might bestow. Abba Father, there are a large number of people we know who suffer from ailments of body and mind, addictions and depression, low self-esteem, and ailments of the mind. We bring our loved ones to you now in a time of our own individual silent prayers, and pray for your hand of healing to be upon them. Loving Lord God, we remember the family of the missing fisherman, and for the one who was saved from the water. Father, will you be with them? Will your hand of comfort be with them today? We bear them up to you now. And we acknowledge the great bounty of blessings that you pour out on us. And in our way, we repay a token of that today as we offer you our money, in the sure belief that our elders will distribute it, as did your servants of old, where it does much good in your kingdom. Father, we remember the closing words of Psalm 121. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And Lord Jesus, we bring these prayers, the silent prayers of our hearts, in your name. Amen. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us go in the strength of God and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Be with us and remain with us now and always. Standing for the excellent, who say, make me a channel of your peace.